Read from God's Word, Psalm the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 1 through verse 9. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the fields, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of the 8th Psalm. Ashley and Eddie and little boy have been away, so I've been watering their flowers, getting their mail and doing all those kind of things. Going through Fairview Acres, I preached this sermon twice yesterday, so it ought to be well worn by now. I met a lady on one end of Fairview Acres and I told her about the greatness and the goodness of God, and when I finished doing my watering, I got to the other side and I met a gentleman and I finished telling him all the same thing about the greatness and the goodness of God. When I look at this psalm and I think about God and I think about his majesty, his glory, his power, and all that he is, I am overwhelmed. If this message had a title today, it would just be awesome. That would be all it would be. It would be awesome. And you say, how could you say that? Well, I look back through the pages of history and across time and into the Holy Scriptures and into scientific expertise and all that kind of thing. And I look at it and I think about it. You know, we struggle in this world with everything. Everything's a struggle. If you hadn't noticed that, you must have been in Birchlawn or someplace, because there's a lot of struggling going on in the world. And as I look at the struggles and things of the world, and I look back at what God did and what God is doing, and I don't know when the Lord created the earth, and I don't know when he created everything that's in it, but at some time in the beginning, and I just love it when we put the punctuation at a different place, and we, you know, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's wonderful, isn't it? But if you look at the first part of it, you know what it says? It says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Before there was anything else, before there was trees, our land, our oceans, our vapors, our suns, our moons, our stars, sometime, someplace in eternity, there has always been God. I can't comprehend that. I can't get it in my head. Everything I know about has a starting place and a stopping place. Everything I know about is defined by time and space and things like that. But God is not. God is forever. Yeah. You say, oh, well, he's going to be God throughout eternity. He's not going to be. He has been God throughout eternity. He has always been God. He has always been there. And sometime in his eternal word and his eternal movements, God determined that he was going to make man. I don't know when he made the angels. I don't know how many angels he made. You say at least 25. Yeah, uh-huh. How about 25 gazillion? I don't know how many angels he made. No one does. But I know that he has made angels. He's made ministering spirits. And they minister to us and they do the work of God. And they travel through the universe and they come together. If I can believe the book of Job, they come together for holy convocations. And wouldn't that be something to go to? Don't you like to come to homecomings down here on earth? Isn't it a great thing when you come to a homecoming on earth? Think about going to a homecoming in heaven And I'm not talking about us going home. I'm talking about angels coming from the far reaches of the universe and standing before the Almighty God and accounting for what they've been doing. That's wonderful, isn't it? Sometime in all of that goings on in the mind of God, and I've said this before and I'm going to tell you again, God's not as dumb as folks. People got to tell everything. They got to tell everything that they know, and then some that they don't know. They've got lots to tell. And they've got to get it on Facebook. They've got to get it spread out. They've got to let everybody know that they had a cold and they blew their nose once. They just have to know that, you know. Well, God has not shared all his thoughts with the angels or the devil or anyone else. In his wise counsel, God's the creator. And I testify to you today, my friend, that nothing you see is an accident. Not a tree, not an animal, not an ocean, not a sky, not a cloud, not anything is an accident. God Almighty is the creator of heavens and earth and everything in it. And at some time in his counsels of his mind, God determined that there would be men. Men who were men and women. Men and women who together constitute the human family. And God determined that there would be the human family. I don't know how far back in eternity that God determined that, but someplace he did. And God began in Genesis 1 and 1 to create this earth for human beings. I mean, it's marvelous what he did. Think about it. God created all things that you see for man, and he created man for his glory. You weren't created, my friend, to make Hollywood rich. You weren't created to do the crazy things that's being done today. My friend, I'm going to have to bend to the Westminster Confession on this, and I'm going to have to tell you that God created you, and he created you because he wanted to enjoy you and wanted you to enjoy him. God loves you, and he loved you before you were created. He loves you before your parents were thought of. He loved you before there was a nation or anything else. God in his determinate will and wondrous grace has determined his love upon you. And he set it in place. And I just can't get over the majesty and the marvelousness of God. When God decides to do this, I don't know what triggered him off. Why is it at this very moment that he's doing it? I don't know, but he did. And when he did, you know, the earth shows up void, means it's empty, and it was dark, there was no light. It was covered in gases and water and vapor. There just was nothing here. I don't know how it got that way. God's not the author of confusion, but of a sound mind. So at some time, something happened that caused all of that commotion to be in space. But you know what, my friends? God looked at all of that, and in one word, God created an atmosphere. In one sentence, God caused the vapors and the clouds to roll away and the light to shine through. And when light came to the earth, that meant what? That there could be life. And so God begins his marvelous work. And, you know, we just struggle and struggle and struggle with all of our things that we're doing. And in one sentence, he creates the heavens and the earth, the stars and the suns and the moon and all of the heavenly bodies. And we spend what? Trillions, at least billions of dollars to send one or two little men to orbit the earth and to spew out into space and hope they can get back. We spend all of that effort and time, and God just simply spoke it. It amazes me. I go out at night. Don't you love a starlit night when there's no moon and no sun and nothing, and you know no light filtering in to dissolve your vision, and you stand out in the darkness of the night and you look up through the heavens and you see all those stars Do you realize it's so big? Some of those stars aren't in existence anymore. Some of those stars have taken so long for the light to get down here from where they are that they're not there anymore. But God knows all about that. He was there when He created them. He was there when he made the creation and He began to create physical things. The sons of God shouted for joy. Isn't that what the scripture said? In the book of Job, it said the sons of God shouted for joy. Wow. So God is creating. And you know, one day God says, we have to have dry land. And in one sentence, there are mountains and valleys, basins for oceans. Water all runs into the places where it's supposed to and runs down the mountains where it's supposed to. And God said, but that's barren and naked. We need to have vegetation on it. Think about it. In one sentence, God created every form of plant life and vegetation on this planet. Wow. In one sentence. Think about it. Everything from a microscopic plant to a sequoia. In one sentence. It was there. It was done. In one sentence, He said, but it's so bleak. And He couldn't hear what I heard this morning. I went out on the back porch, and there was two or three birds just having a fit. They had struck up an orchestra, and they were playing everything but a cello. I mean, they were hooping and hollering and having themselves one glorious time. And, you know, the world didn't have that. But in one sentence, God created every bird, every fowl of the air that's on the earth, and every fish of the sea at the same time. Now, if you think all that's an accident, honey, you have got a lot of faith in science. If you believe all that happened just by accident, you need to think about what you're talking about and what you're thinking about. And then God says, but there has to be things creeping on the earth. So in one sentence, what does God do? In one sentence, God creates every form of animal life on earth. Every cow and horse and pig and chicken. Well, I already created a chicken the day before. An elephant. Wow. And all of those things were created just because He said so. The amazing thing to me, the awesome thing to me, is that's all in God's mind. All of these creatures that He's created, all of these plants that He's created, all these mountain ranges that He's created, all these stars and planets and things that's going on in space, all of that was in His mind. He didn't ask anybody's advice on it. He didn't go to the university and find out about it. He imagined it to be so, and when He spoke it, it existed. Awesome. What an awesome God we serve. My friend, and I have to think when I look at all that and I look at what's going on in the world around us, and I have to think what God said when He talked to Sarah and Abraham. You know, people said, that can't be. Man, 100 years old and his wife's 90. That can't be. You know that's not going to be. You know nobody's going to do that. Well, go down to the nursing home and tell some 90-year-old lady she's going to have a baby next year. See how far you get before the people pick you up and carry you off. I mean, and you know what he said? Sarah was laughing about it. Abraham was incredulous. And you know what the scripture said? Is there anything too hard for God? Man, God is awesome. He is wondrous. When I look at all of this creation that He's made, and then He did one more thing. He created a human being. Now let me tell you something about God. He spoke the animals into existence. He spoke the plants into existence. Spoke the fish of the sea into existence. The fowls of the air into existence. He spoke planets and stars and moons into existence. But when it came to man, God made man. God made man. He didn't speak into existence. He made him. And not only, and no, He didn't do what the Sistine Chapel has. He didn't reach out his finger and touch the end of Adam's finger. My friend, he made him with his own hands out of the dust of the ground, and then he reached down from heaven and did what? Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Wow! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, when you look at that, my friend, and God stepped back at the end of the sixth day, and there it was. And don't argue with me about whether it was a 24-hour day or whatever. I don't care. But I do happen to think it was a 24-hour day. And you say, why? Because it said the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And if they have evening and morning, that's just a regular day, isn't it? You say, oh, no, it took billions of years for that to happen. Not with our awesome God. Not with our awesome God. Our God has spoken, my friend, and it can happen. But he made man, and he put him in a garden, and he said, behold, it's very good. Somebody laughed because I planted tobacco in my flower garden. It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous plant. Got great big old leaves. Listen, just because we're stupid enough to abuse it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with a tobacco plant. God made it, and God said, behold, it's very good. Everything he made was good. And you say that God finished it all. It was all complete and done. Hold on just a little second. Number one, the garden he created needed to be tended to. The garden he created needed your attention and your work. God created a job for you before he ever created anything that looked like you. And he created this garden and put the man in the garden to tend it and to take care of it. Not just to walk around and eat the fruits and be, you know, sassy and fat and all that to go along with it, my friend. He created that garden for Adam and his descendants to work in. And they worked at it. And I'll tell you what else he did. He created them with free choice. They could live there forever. No rent, no lease payments, no nothing. They could live there forever. They could be part of it forever. They don't ever have to leave. All they have to do is walk in obedience to God. I don't know how long Adam and Eve lived there before God caught up with them. But my friend, the day came that something terrible happened in that garden. Now you talk about an awesome God. I just told you how awesome he is. How many different plant species are there in the world? How many animal species are there in the world? How many stars are there in the heavens? How many planets are there rotating around other stars such as our sun? We don't know. It's so great. It's just awesome. But I want to tell you something, my friend. His dealings with human beings is the most awesome thing that God has ever done. There's never been anything, no stars, no moon, no sun, no plants, no animals, nothing, no matter how gorgeous and wonderful it is, none of that, my friend, is as awesome as God dealing with human beings. Because God said to the man, and I blame, somebody wants to blame Mother Eve. I'm not so sure we shouldn't blame Father Adam, because God gave him the instructions and he should have given it to Mother Eve. I'm not sure whether he gave it to her just right. Husbands have trouble talking to wives sometimes. Had you noticed that, girls? Had any of you noticed that? Husbands have trouble talking and telling their wives everything. I don't know if Adam got it clear or not. I'm not sure what happened there. But anyway, it short-circuited. And Adam and Eve sinned and came short of the glory of God. And God had promised them. God had promised them, in the day that you eat of this tree, you're going to die. And they did. You say, that day? No, not that day. But who they are and who they were created died that day, my friend. It was a horrible thing. God could have left them. He could have done several things. First of all, he could have just zapped them out. Wonder why he didn't do that. You know, I happen to know that. All them questions I said that I don't know the answer to, I know the answer to this one. I know why God didn't zap him out. For For the same reason he didn't zap Noah out. For the same reason he didn't zap the whole human race out two or three or four different times. You know why? Because God so loved the world that he was willing to give his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. I know the answer, my friend. God loved Adam and Eve, and God loved old Eddie Kendall, and God loved you people and all people in the world, and he loved us so much that he was not willing for us to perish. He could have let us stay in that garden and partook of the tree of life, and we would have done that in a sin-cursed state. My friend, wouldn't it be awful to be trapped in this and never be able to get out of it? Wouldn't it be awful that this body, I would be trapped in it, and it would just become less and less functional and more dysfunctional, and I wouldn't have any place to go or anything to do? But thanks be unto God, because God loves us. He did not leave us in the Garden of Eden. He did not leave us there to partake of the tree of life and at the same time be sinful human beings. My friend, he saved us because he loved us, and he saved Adam and Eve because he loved them. My friend, they could have died. You say, but the justice and the judgment of God. Man, that don't some preachers love to preach on the judgment of God? Don't some preachers love to thrash down the hell fire and brimstone from heaven and do all of that preaching and hurt people's feelings? Don't they just love to do that? Well, I got some news for you, my friend. The last thing God wants to do is send judgment on you. The last thing God wants to do is to destroy you in hell fire. And he never made nothing for you anyway. He made it for the devil and his angels. My friend, I'm telling you today, because of God's love, because of God's care, he did not destroy Adam and Eve. He did not. You say, but somebody's got to die. Some blood's got to be shed. What an awesome thing happened. How Adam and Eve must have cringed as they hid themselves. They were naked for the first time in their lives. You say they were naked? They didn't know it. You know why they didn't know it? Because they were clothed with the light of God. They were clothed with the light of God. But my friend, God saw their plight, and he heard their cry, and he saw the necessity of their salvation. And you know what he did? For the first time ever in history of the world, a little animal was called up. By the way, if you want to be theological about it, it's called propitiation. A little animal was called up. I don't know. Maybe it was a lamb. Maybe it was a calf. I don't know what it was. But a little animal was called up. And a little animal came and stood before the Almighty God and sinful man. And that little animal stood there not realizing. Never a night had Adam gone to bed and heard the cry. Some nights when I go to outside and walk out on the porch at night, I hear a little animal over in the woods and it cries out because a predator has grabbed it and killed it. Sometimes you hear them cry out when they're in a trap or something. But the cry of pain had never been heard in the world. The cry of sorrow had never been heard in the world. And my friend, in the very sight of Adam and Eve, God had built an altar to place a fire on it, and he reached for that little animal. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he cut his throat. But as he tore that little animal to part, my friend, the blood spilled down on the altar of Eden and onto the ground. And as he tore the hide, tore the skins from the back of the animal, my friend, Adam and Eve stood with gaping mouths and beating hearts and their pulse racing, my friend. They had never seen death before. They had never seen dying before. And as they looked, my friend, they saw that little animal, and God Almighty with his own hands was ripping the hide and the flesh away from it, and the blood was spouting down on the ground, and the sheathing of the hide was going away. And God took that animal's hide and made clothing. No, Adam and Eve had tried to make clothing. They'd cut some fig leaves and made a bikini. God's not in favor of bikinis. He's in favor of coats, by the way. And you can just take that and eat it any way you want to. But they made just a fig leaf covering for their nakedness. And God said, that'll never do. That'll never do. We have to shed blood. And he killed that animal and tore the hide from it and took those first seamster in the world was God. And he took that animal's hide and he sewed it together and he made a coat for Adam and a coat for Eve to cover their nakedness, and shed the blood and told them about sacrifice and about an altar and about fire. And my friend, God accepted the life of that little animal. God accepted the shedding of its blood and the tearing of its hide. God accepted that as a propitiation, as a substitute, my friend, for Adam and Eve, because he loved them so much. Down through the ages, my friend, I can see Abraham climbing up on Mount Moriah with a knife stuck in his scabbard and the wood of the sacrifice on Isaac's back when he laid that little boy down. And by the way, he's probably 30 years old. Laid him down in obedience on the top of that wood, and he reached up his knife and would have slit his throat and spilled his blood. But the hand of an angel came out and God Almighty spoke and spared the life of Isaac. And my friend, down through the ages, human beings got worse and worse, and we just were stupid. We've just been so stupid in the way we've mishandled the earth. And my friend, finally one day, the voice of God spoke out from the portals of glory, and the Lord Jesus Christ got up off of the throne of his glory and laid aside his divinity, walked across the Milky Way and down the golden staircase of heaven, thank God, to this earth, and walked into the womb of a little virgin girl in Nazareth. And Jesus Christ became a human, and Jesus Christ lived a human life here, my friend. And Jesus Christ died and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and has ascended back to glory. And my friend, he's promised he's coming again. And by the way, I'm looking for him just any day. I got the welcome sign out, my friend. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. We're ready for you. This world's ripe for the picking, and we need you to come. My friend, let me tell you, he's an awesome God. What he did making planets and animals and plants is wonderful. It's awesome. But my friend, it's nothing to what he did when he gave his son and his divine life. Do you realize that God put it all on the line? God put the divine Godhead on the line in a sinful human body that never sinned, but a body that could sin, a body that was short of his glory. And my friend, he did that just so. This old East boy right up here could go to heaven. Just so that old Tate boy right there could go to heaven. Just so those Harrises over there could go to heaven. Amen. He did it just for me. So this old Kendall boy could go to heaven. And my friend, isn't that wonderful? What an awesome God. Would you say it? Awesome. Awesome. Oh, my friend, in all of his ways, in all of his ways, his character is awesome. His power is awesome. His thoughts are awesome. His purpose and plan is awesome. And my friend, he has promised how this is going to come out. It's not going to be destroyed by a computer. It's not going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb. My friend, this planet will end just the same as it started, at the word of God. I don't know how long ago it's been since God made the earth, but I can tell you something. He's not done with it yet. He's not done with it yet. Of the increase of his kingdom, there'll be no end, the scripture says. And you know what else it says? It said, and the earth abideth forever. Wow. Wow. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. Hallelujah. And you know what? Just because he loved me so, I can go to him and I can say, God, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I am a sinner, but I ask you to redeem me. I ask you to save me. And just because I ask him in faith, I can go into the waters of baptism, as we will in just a few minutes. And my friend, when I go under the water, we are buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Would you say hallelujah with me?
Hallelujah.
Father God, I come before you today. I am so grateful and so thankful for the greatness of God. I'm so thankful, Father, that your awesomeness has extended to my sinfulness, that your awesome character, Father, has sustained me, and your awesome purpose is there. Oh God, touch hearts here today. Touch those who will be baptized. Touch those, Father, who need to be baptized, that they will come to the place that they'll recognize the power of God. And Father, we pray your Holy Spirit, your holy power, and your holy blessings, Lord, will be here to bless your people. And Lord, as we sing this song, would you touch hearts and would you bless souls? Heavenly Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.